We left off on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. We are holding at Reish Lakish, I believe, about 6 lines from the bottom of the page. Reish Lakish Ikla LeBatzra. So Reish Lakish went to a place called Batzra. Chazim Yisrael Dukachli Peri De LaMaasri, and he saw that people were eating fruits where Trumas and Maestros were not taken off of those fruits in this place called Batzra. Va'asuluhu, and he said that that's Aser. So Rashi explains why we say it's Aser. The Kasavar Batzra Him Batzra Bamidbar Beretz Hamishar. He held that Batzra is Botzer, which is in the Midbar in Eretz HaMishor, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he held that the Peros were Chayiv Maestros, and if they're the Chayiv Maestros, it's not good that people are eating Peros that Maestros were not taken off of. So he held that that location was something that was part of Eretz Yisrael. Chazam Maya Desagdilu of the Chavim V'Shasu Yisrael V'Asaluhu. He also saw water that was drawn by Ovdei Kochavim and given to Jewish people to drink, and he asked that as well. So Asal Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Rabbi Yochanan, he came back to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Reish Lakish gave these Piskei Halacha, and then he comes in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Ad Makturcha Alach Zil Hadar, he says, well, before you take off your coat, before you get too comfortable, you may want to go turn right back around and change those Psakim. Batzra Lav Hainu Batzra, first of all, you misidentified the city, it's not from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore was not Chayiv Maestros in the first place. And you should know Mayim Shel Rabbi Meinei Asarin, that water of the public water is not going to be Asar, meaning that even if in some way there is some Chashash of Avodah Zarah associated with that water, no one doesn't, the Kochavim, not of the Koach, to actually make the water Asar. And Rashi says, D'maktor Chalach, Rashi writes, Ba'ud Sheh B'gadecha Alecha Chazor Etzlam V'hater Lahem V'lo Tisha Afilu Anuach Mitarach HaDerech, that it's an expression that while you're still, before you even relax, while you're still wearing your jacket, go back and don't rest now, go right back and change your psak. If you look at Tosfos, he writes, he quotes Rashi, and then he says, V'yafa Kivein, he just gives Rashi a pat on the back over here. He says, just want to point out that Rashi gave the correct pshat, meaning there's a more enticing pshat that one might want to give, and Rashi did the right thing by not giving that pshat, by giving the correct pshat. Why? What would have been the other pshat? The Ein Lefarish Shelo Tafsid B'Gadecha Bahora Asecha. It definitely has something to do with the beged, right? The comment has something to do with the clothing that he was wearing. One might have explained that you better change that psak, or else you're going to lose even the shirt off your back. And he was telling him that he's going to be punished for this. The Bishil Shati'isa Tetzarech L'Shalim, that because you made a mistake, you're going to owe people money and you're going to have to pay for your mistake because you're causing them to lose all these payrolls. That's money for them. You're causing them to lose all this water. That's money for them. So since you're causing people to lose all this money, you're going to have to make it up to them financially and you're going to have to pay them back for it and you're going to lose the shirt off your back paying for this psak. So you could have explained it that way. Tosfos says, but that would have been incorrect. Why? Kedamrin Parakam in the Sanhedrin, Damukumina Lehasam, Bin Nasav. Because when does a dayan have to pay for his mistake? If he not only paskined in a way that cost somebody money, but he paskined in that way and then physically took action based on that psak. He actually took the money from one litigant and gave it to the other. Plus, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is clear that if the dayan was a dayan who was authorized to judge and he was known as a great expert in dayanus, he's never going to be responsible to pay money for his judgments. If he made an error and he's known as a great expert, he's not going to have to pay money. So that's why it also says Rashi refrains from paskening that from explaining the Gemara that you're going to have to lose your clothing for this psak halacha because you're going to lose all your money paying for this psak halacha because that would be halachically inaccurate. Rather, it was just an expression of you better turn around, you might want to turn around because this was an incorrect psak. If you look at the next toss, it's just the first couple of lines. Botzer lav hainu batzer, he says, Vadam Rav Shimon Lakshbar kam demakos, gimel te'ios asit sar shel romi litos, reish lakish, again, same person who made this mistake over here about the identification of the city, says in the Gemara in Makos that the sar shel romi is going to make three major mistakes. Kasavar shegal lebatzer, And one of those mistakes is misidentifying these cities, is confusing these cities to each other, So Frek tells us, wait a second, that's Reish Lakish's mistake. So it says, tells us, Hainu l'basar d'shama merab yochran, d'savri d'batzer lav hainu batzra, as hoda ki gam betal zeh, yitter sar shal romi batzer lav hainu batzra, pirish al chutzal arati, vein l'chayavis b'meiser. Yeah, that once he was educated though, once Rabbi Yochanan told him and informed him of the mistake, so as we've seen several times already in the past couple of weeks, the Tanaim and Amorim were not afraid to say, Dvarim Shamati Lechem Tal Sein Biyadi, things that I said were a mistake, and changed their tune, they changed their mind. We only had that one instance where someone was embarrassed to say that they changed their mind, but even in that case, he actually did change his mind. He was just embarrassed to say what he used to hold. He still insisted on the truth currently. So that's something that Reish Lakish then became a big proponent of pointing out that mistake. So fine, so that's how Reish Lakish fits with Reish Lakish. So you have what seems like a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish initially paskins both about the identification of a city as well as about the water that Ovdei Kochavim handled, and Rabbi Yochanan says that the water, that the city is a city in Chutz Laretz, and the water, more importantly for us, the water is never going to be asr because Mayim Shel Rabim never becomes asr. You can't asr Mayim Shel Rabim. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Rabbi Yochanan's Lishitoso, by saying that Mayim Shel Rabim does not become asr. Because, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadik, Yotzadak, Mayim Shel Rabim, Ein Nasarin. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak, Mayim Shel Rabim does not become asr. That's the teaching of his Rabbi, Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak. Hadi Yachid Nasarin. So, frankly, the Gemara, but wait a second, that implies that Mayim Shel Yachid would become asr left in the wrong hands, left with access to Ovdei Kochavim, with Ovdei Kochavim left with access to it. V'tepikle da mechubarininu. But shouldn't we assume that since it's mechubar, that it can't become asr, that anything that's mechubar lekarka cannot become asr, even if it was Shel Yachid? Why do we only assume that Mayim Shel Rabim doesn't become Aser, and we're assuming Mayim Shel Yachid can become Aser? So answers more, Lo Tzricha Dital Shinu Gala. It was removed from being Mechubar by a wave. Sometimes the wave just flies up and it gets detached from the rest of the water, and therefore doesn't have a din of Mechubar, and it can become Aser if it's Mayim Shel Yachid. But Mayim Shel Rabim would never become Aser. Sof, Avni Harshin Nadal Dulunenhu, but asked the Gemara, wait a second, even if it's a wave that becomes detached momentarily, isn't it like the stones of a mountain that can become detached from the mountain? So Testaim Rabbi Yochanan Damar Asuros, and therefore we should conclude that Rabbi Yochanan's taking a stance on that case of the stones from the mountain, where Rabbi Yochanan will be the one that says that it's Asur, if he's going to assume Mayim Shel Yachid, since it could sometimes detach from the water, would be Asur. So Rabbi Yochanan apparently holds that the Avnei Harshin Nadaldalu also would become Asr. Lo Tzricha D'Tavchinu B'Yadeh. Now maybe the case of the water is different. It's not that it was just a wave, but it's Tavchinu B'Yadeh, which Rashi explains, Ovid Kochavim B'Yadeh Milamata V'Tolshan V'Acharkach Hishtach V'Lehen Hilkach Yesh Ben Tfisas Yad Adam V'Lo Domu La'Avnei Harshin Nadaldalu Me'Alehem V'Diyach Nesarim. We're not talking about a natural phenomenon, a natural occurrence, where the water becomes detached from the rest of the water. We're talking about a guy who bends down and actually physically detaches the water from the rest of the water. And then an Ovik Chavim is mishtachave to it. So that's totally different than the Avnei Harshin Nadaldalu, where it naturally just detaches itself from the rest of the mountain. So it could be Avnei Harshin Nadaldalu, Rabbi Yochanan would hold his mutter, but still Mayim Shel Yachid is going to be asr, because you could have a case of Mayim Shel Yachid that is asred by the person himself, that's detached by the person himself. Now if you look at Tosos, Two issues in Tosos over here. Number one, Tosos is bothered a little bit by the fact that Rabbi Yochanan quotes in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. Tosos says, Hachamash Mashayo Rabbo, makes it sound that Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. V'chein mash menami bekamaduchti, shamar shmos mishmo. And there are lots of places in Shas where you're going to find that Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. So apparently there are a lot of places that the implication is that Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan. V'tema, the B'Sanhedrin, Perek Zebar, Rukam, Rabbi Chia, Bar Zarnuki, V'Rabbi Shem Ben Yatzadak, Ozu, La'Aber, Shana Ba'asya. The Gemara, Mesech Sanhedrin, says that Rabbi Chia, Bar Zarnuki, and Rabbi Shem Ben Yatzadak went to be Ma'aber, the Shana, in Asya, Itfil Ba'adayu, Rabbi Shem Ben Lakish. And Rabbi Shem Ben Lakish joined with them. V'Ikari Luchu, Roitzon, Mai Emelei. And the Gemara goes on, there's a whole conversation that Reish Lakish was insulted in that exchange, and he said, "Look, if they would have called you Roe Tzon, what would you say to him?" V'irabo ha'ilo limchos al kavod rabo. Now, if it was his meaning, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon Yotzadik was insulted, and if in fact, and he says, "You know, big deal." So they called you a name, they called you Roe Bakar, and if they would have called you Roe Tzon, what difference would it make? So that's how Rabbi Yochanan reacted. But if he was his Rebbe, so he should have been mocha on the kavod of his Rebbe. Do you have a Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish have a Talmud? Because if he was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, he was certainly Reish Lakish's Rebbe as well. Reish Lakish certainly would have been considered a Talmud, because even though Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were Bar Pluktas, Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit higher up on the line of progression. Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit older, so certainly he would be considered his Rebbe. So anyway, so Tosfos is just bothered, leaves it as an unanswered kasha. How Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak fits in to the continuum of Jewish leadership? Exactly what was he to Rabbi Yochanan? Was he a Talmud? Was he a Rebbe? Anyway, the basic thing is he wasn't really his Rebbe. There's just that one unusual place in Shas in the third parak of Masech Sanhedrin where the Gemara doesn't sound that way. So that's just a technical point. Tosfos, the next Tosfos, Hadiyachin Ne'asarin, Tosfos points out, Tzarech Lomer, Demairi Kigon, Denavi Me'are, that we must be talking about water that springs from the ground. Vim Tomer, Vamrin B'Shili Meruba, Gabi Eser Tenoim, Shehisne Yoshua, Umayin Ayotze B'tchila B'nei Ir Mestab Kinemenu, that one of the 10 Tanayim that Yoshua made upon entering Eretz Yisrael, meaning Yoshua made certain rules in regards to property rights, that although there is such a thing as personal ownership of property, you have to allow other people to have certain benefits from property that even that you may even personally own, because it's just good for Yishuv Haaretz, just good for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. For instance, Yoshua made a takana that if the roads are unpassable, then the edges of the fields right near the roads have to be open to grant access to people who need to pass by those roads. So much so that the Gemara says that if when the roads are unpassable, someone still tries to tough it out and not use the sides of those fields, it's considered, that's one of the examples in Shas of yuhara, of inappropriate religious arrogance, that you're going to take upon yourself an inappropriate chumra. The tanaim that Yoshua put in place were binding tanaim for everybody. So one of those tanaim was that when you have a mayan, when you have a spring that's providing fresh water, all the Bnei Yair have the right to be mistapik from it. Everyone has the right to enjoy it. So if that's the case, so Tosa says, I just don't understand. What's the case of Mayim Shal Yachid? If we're talking about a spring that's coming from the ground, by definition in Eretz Yisrael, any spring that comes from the ground is included in Yoshua's Tanai. So it is Mayim Shal Yachid. It's not Mayim Shal Yachid, it's Mayim Shal Rabim. So v'amiri de mairi b'mayin ayotze me'atzmo v'acha mairi b'chafer bar. Now that, there's a difference between Yoshua, where he was talking about mayin ayotze me'atzmo, water that just sprang forth from the ground where there were these natural springs, versus over here maybe we're talking about someone who dug a bar. If you dig your own bar, you're certainly entitled to the water in that bar, and that's not something that you have to share with all the b'nei ha'ir. Inami mairi hacha gon shekali ir shalo. Or could be speaking in a case where you own the entire city, that maybe the Tanai of Yoshua is only if it's a city that there are many people that are in control of their own properties, and we just need to make sure that there's water available for everybody. But if it's your city, you own that entire city, so then you own the springs that are within that city. So anyway, on that first point, the Tosfos pointed out that if you dug the bar, that's the case where it's Mayim Shal Yachid, that's the case where it can be Aser. The Gemara in Baba Kama Peyalef of Mayim Yotze B'tchila, that was talking about Mayim Yotze Me'atzman, considered Shal Rabim. Now Tosfos few dapim ago on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph said that there's a chilik between water that's yotzei chutz l'sadol sehem and water that's not yotzei chutz l'sadol sehem. That if the water does not extend, does not go outside of your field, that's when it's considered mayim shel yachid, which implies that even if it was yatzei me'atzmo, as long as physically it doesn't flow out of the field, then it's going to be considered mayim shel yachid. So it does seem that there's a little bit of a stira between Tosfos over here and Tosfos Mem Zayin Amud Aleph Dibra Maschil Lo Tzricha. Marsha points out the what seems to be a bit of a stira. Okay. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara weiter. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba ikla leGavla. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba went to a place called Gavla. Chazav benos Yisrael demi Avram miavdi chav mishamal v'lo tavla. And he saw something tragic. He saw that there were Jewish girls that were pregnant from ovdi chavim who had done mila but not vila. Meaning he saw that that there were people ovdi chavim who were in the process of gerus but never completed the process of gerus. They had done their mila not vila, and Jewish girls were marrying them and becoming pregnant from them. Chazav He also saw that there was wine that the Ovdei Chavim were being mosaic and the Jews were drinking, and also Chazav Termusa Shedeshalki Lahu Ovdei Chavim Va'achli Yisrael. He also saw Termusa that was being cooked by Ovdei Chavim and Jews were eating it. So basically, he saw three fundamental problems. Number one, he saw a problem of intermarriage. Number two, he saw a problem of Yainesach Shash Yainesach. Number three, he saw a problem of Bishalakum. V'lo amr l'hu v'lo midi. Seeing all three of those problems, he didn't say a word. So again, this was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Asa l'kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, he came to Rabbi Yochanan. Amr leit seivach reiz al b'neim shein mamzerim. Rabbi Yochanan says, here's what you got to do. First thing you need to do is you need to announce that all their children are mamzerim. Number two, v'al yeyin mishum yayin esach. You also need to announce that the yayin in that town is yayin esach. And number three, v'al termusim mishum bishuli of the chavim. You have to announce that the termusin that they're eating is all bishul akum mishum she'in b'nei Torah. And the reason you need to announce that is because they're in b'nei Torah. Meaning, the first two psakim is because that's what the halacha is, because it's Beferish wrong, that there's a major problem. The third one, Termusin, is not really Bishalakum, and the Gemara is going to explain why in a second. It's not really a Bishalakum problem when Goyim cook this type of food, but because they're in B'nai Torah, it's important to give that Chumrah. Rashi explains, Atermusin Kaidiyin B'nai Torah, Shari Kidim Farish Lakamei Termusin and Lachai Venel Shulchum Lachim, as the Gemara is about to explain that Termusin is not really technically a problem, but because they're in B'nai Torah and they're likely to cut corners in other places, so we need to be very strong about this issue. So number one, let's go through each psak that he told them to give. Albanayim shem mamzerim, in regards to saying that their children are mamzerim, Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh, this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, dam Rabbi Yochanan l'yalameinu ger, atshi yamul v'yitbal, Rabbi Yochanan says a person only becomes a ger when they have both mila and tefila. V'kivad lo tavil, ovid chavmu. So long as he doesn't do tefila, he has a din of a full-fledged guy. So you have to go and be machriz that their children are only one more step, and that is that when someone is a guy and they sleep with a Jewish woman and they have a child, he holds, Rabbi Yochanan holds, that it has a din of a mamzer. So that's why he told them that you need to go and announce that they're mamzerim. If you look in Tosfos, Chum Vav Rabba by Shal Vav Mamzer, Vim Tomer, Ma Yitzchok Perakal Manukon Gadol Perakal Sar Yuchsin, Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Kra, De Bas Koyim Kisiyah Li Ish Zar, Lashmin Dov Chum Vav Shabbat Al Bas Shal Shapsula. Why do we need a pasuk, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the Gemara in Yevamos, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, to tell me that when an Eved and Rovid Chavim is Ba'al Bas Yisrael, that she's Pasul Kuhuna? Obviously, she's possible kuna pshita. Hashav lan mamzer posel biyasal mibayi. If the child is going to be a mamzer from this union, obviously it's going to be posel kuhuna fractosos. So Tosos says v'omri hadidei hadarabe enochinami. There's a difference between what Rabbi Yochanan says in his own mind and what Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of his rabbi. In kiddushin ayin hey and yivamas samaches, it's Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the child is not a mamzer, needs a pasuk to teach me that it's pasul l'kuhuna. But Rabbi Yochanan himself holds the child's a mamzer anyway, so you don't need a pasul to tell me that they're pasul l'kuhuna. Obviously, the woman is going to be pasul l'kuhuna. So that was psak number one, that you need to go say that the children are mamzerim. Psak number two, v'gazer al yeinu mishum yayin nesach, you need to go announce that the yayin over there is all yayin nesach. Mishum aleich lech, amrina nazira, schor schor l'karmel l'sikrava. So we have another opportunity to point out the dafyomi coincidence of lech lech. I told someone yesterday to give me a whole chassidish Torah about how Avra lech lecha is really lech lech, to go far away from bad influences, and to, okay, fine. So lech lech, amrina nazira, we go tell the nazir, schor schor l'karmel l'sikrava, go around, go far away from here, go around, take a circuitous route, don't come anywhere near the vineyard. So there goes the Yayin Mishum Yayin Nesach, because of that you have to be very careful to avoid all situations that resemble Yayin Nesach. Val Termosan Mishum Mishuli of the Chavim, and when it comes to the food that they were eating, the Termosan that you should say that it's Bishalakum Lefi Shein B'nei Torah, that's only because they're in B'nei Torah. Taiman they're in B'nei Torah Shari. But had they been B'nei Torah, then you wouldn't need to say anything about their food. I have Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Amr Rav Kol Shnechel Kmo Shulchai Ein Bo Mishum Mishuli of the Chavim. So, but I thought we said that anything that could be eaten raw is not a problem of Bishalakum. Things that cannot be eaten raw are a problem of Bishalakum. So Rabbi Yochanan Kiyach Lishnasri Yulei Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Amr Rav Kol Shein Ol Shulchum Alachum Lafis Bosa Pas Ein Bo Mishum Mishuli of the Chavim. Rabbi Yochanan holds, no, anything that's not Ol Ol Shulchum Alachim Lafis Bosa Pas, anything that doesn't, is not served at a king's table together with bread, is not going to be a problem of Bishalakum. And therefore, time Adain B'nei Torah, HaB'nei Torah Shari, and since this is the type of food that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim Lelafis Bo'as Apas, it's not going to be subject to Bishalakum, and therefore it's only because they're in B'nai Torah that you need to go and be Machmir, but had they been B'nai Torah, it would have been totally fine. Now, from this Gemara, this is one of the rayas that Tosos has about how do we paskin? Which of these kulas is true? Eino olal shulchum lachim or kol shenachal kamo shulchai? So Tosos paskin, we saw already earlier on what was it? Daf Lamed Hay, I guess that both kulas are actually true. That we paskin like both of these kulas. So this Gemara is one of the rayas that we paskin like both of those kulas. If you look at Tosos down here, he repeats his psak. Pasuk abe tam kani treilishni dar biyochman svirle. He says it must be that we pass like both kulas. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds like the second of the two mentioned over here, namely the Olal Shulchan Malachim, and in general we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. Ulishna basra nami lo palig rav alei ukalishna de kol shenechel kamo shulchai isle l'stam talmud l'el. And when it comes to the kula of kol shenechel kamo shulchai, the stam of the Gemara says like that, and no one really disagrees with that. And he says weiter toward the end of Tosas teda de l'el perakin mamid and daflam l'chasu was the kamar ika binayu dogim ketanim ar divdaisa. The Gemara tries to find what's the nafkamina between the two lishonos of nechel kamo shulchai and olal shulchum lo. And it gives examples of things that are she'ein echolin chayin, things that are not eaten raw, meaning, and therefore, those items, since they're not eaten raw, should be subject to bishlakum on that level, but ve'ein olin al shulchum alachim, but they're all also not olal shulchum lachim. So he said that's the nafkamina between the two lashonos. All these items that are neither nechol chai nor olal shulchum lachim. Why doesn't it say a nafkamina of things that are the reverse, that are yes nechol chai and yes, olal shulchan malachim? Wouldn't that also be enough kamina between the two deos? For lo kamri kabinayu dvash uperos, and there are plenty of examples of things like that. Honey, fruits. For an apple is nechol chai and is olal shulchan malachim. So why not give such an example? Salad, olal shulchan malachim, nechol chai. Why not give such an example? Shnechol kamo chayin va'olin, elevade b'halakam an depalig. So it must be that no one disagrees about that. That everyone would agree that if it's both nechol chai and olal shulchan malachim, that the fact that it's nechol chai is enough. Meaning everyone agrees to the kul of nechol chai. That's why the Gemara doesn't give that example. So once everyone agrees to the kul of nechol chai, and then you know that Rabbi Yochanan holds of the kula of olal shulchan malachim, and we know we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore there you have it. So that's how we can conclude safely that we paskin like both of these kulas, and that's what we do lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. We paskin like both of these kulas. The Tosos and Masecha Shabbos of Kuflam Tesam and Beis Dibra Maskul Yom is quoted by Sharmin Tzion Ba'alach over here, where he says as follows, that Maisa Bimilon, there was a city in a certain, there was a story that happened in a certain city in France, Biyomtov Sheni, Shalichwa Mace Chutzl Tchum Vikavruhu, that they brought a mace outside on Yomtov Sheni, outside of the Tchum of the city, and they buried him, Vikas Aleim Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam got upset at them. Damrin b'gemara sham d'shalach luhu l'bnei baschar d'shalach luhu l'bnei b'schar meis lo yisasku bo lo yehudim v'lo akum lo b'yom tov rishon lo b'yom tov sheni l'fi shena b'nei Torah. That even though typically on Yom Tov Sheni you're allowed to have people bury the dead, but when people are in b'nei Torah you have to be extra machmir, and both on Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni it's usher to have Bain b'nei Yisrael, bain akum, deal with the dead. V'shalach lam Rabbeinu Tam, b'nei baschar, ein b'nei Torah, b'nei milon, b'nei Torah. And Rabbeinu Tam said to them in a bitmiya, why you think b'nei baschar and not b'nei Torah, and b'nei milon are b'nei Torah, meaning in our town, in this French town, you think people are b'nei Torah? So in Tosfos Maseches Beitza, they quote in the name of the Ri, that from b'nei baschar, you can't have a raya that it's aser, because harei anan, ein choshon b'tur Musan, afal pisha asu mishum shein b'nei Torah. So here's the question: Rabbeinu Tam tried to bring a raya in Maseches Shabbos that anything that they were machmir and shas for people who are in b'nei Torah, we need to be machmir for also, because we're even less b'nei Torah than the people of those locations that the Gemara refers to as in b'nei Torah. But frekt the Tosfos Maseches Beitza in the name of the Ri, is that really true? We're not machmir and termusin. We're talking about something over here that they were machmir, even though it's a type of item that's eino ola al shulchan malachim lalafis posapas. We're not machmir in items that are eino ola al shulchan malachim lalafis posapas. Even though they had to be machmir in this case for people who are in bnei Torah, it's a very stark akasha to just make a tzushtal and say, oh, if the bnei that location were in bnei Torah, we're for sure in bnei Torah. We have to be machmir. We know that we're not machmir over here when it comes to things that are not ola al shulchan malachim. So that's a strong point against the shita of Rabbeinu Tam in Maseches Shabbos. Now, when we refer to this kula of Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim, we often refer to it as just that, Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim. But you'll notice when the Gemara refers to it, it has a second half to the phrase. It's Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim l'lafes bo'asapas. There are some things that are served on a king's table, but they're not used l'lafes bo'asapas. They're not served together with bread as a main part of the meal. So in the Torah, the Achron, the Torah Chaim, he explains that a dafka says the lafis basapas. So even if it's all al shulchan malachim and it's something that's not nechal chai, it's not going to be bishalakum because it's not considered chashuv if it's not lafis as a pas. And he says, therefore, ochlin mine markachas shemavashan akum, afal pi, da olin al shulchan malachim, mein malachim kamosho chai. There's certain types of spices or whatever that you can get from a non-Jew that are cooked where you don't have to worry about it because it's simply not lelafes basapas. So it's a very that seems to be the shita of the Rama and Shulchan Aruch as well, that lelafes basapas is critical to this halacha of bishalakum. Okay, says the Gemara three lines from the bottom now. Boy, my name is Rav Kahana. Ovid Chavim Mahu Sheyolich Hanavim Legas. Is an Ovid Chavim allowed to bring the grapes to the wine press? That's going to be his only job, just to carry the grapes to the wine press. So Amr Lahu Aser Mishum Lech Lech Amr Nazir Eschar Eschar LeKamer Lo Sikrav. So it's Aser. We try to stay as far away from any of these Isurim relating to Yai Nesach as we possibly can. So no, the Ovid Chavim is not allowed to bring the grapes to the wine press. Eisvei Rav Yemel Rav Kahana. So Rav Yemel Aser Rav Kahana. Ovid Chavim Shevi Anavim Legas Besalim. If an Ovid Kavim brings the grapes to the wine press in baskets, ubidurdurin, and in durdurin, Ritrashi says are gigios kitanos, these little jugs, afal pishayin mezalifalein mutter, even though there's wine dripping on them, it's mutter, meaning when you have a whole bunch of grapes that are packed tightly together, inevitably there's going to be a little bit of wine that seeps out, or sometimes they'll even pour a little bit of wine on it in order to keep it fresh. So even though there's wine that's mezalifalein, and it's still going to be mutter. So don't you see that it's a mutter for an Ovid Kavim to bring the grapes to the wine press? How can you say that it's also for the Ovid Kavim to bring the grapes to the wine press? Amalei, hevi kamrit? Another chachil kamin, he says, no, there's a big difference. One question is it okay to have the guy bring the grapes to the wine press? The other case is, when the guy brought the grapes to the wine press, are they mutter? It's a big difference between the chachil and b'diavad. The chachil, he should not, b'diavad. If he did, it doesn't become aser. Not everything becomes aser, b'diavad. Almost every kasher shayla that comes up in the kitchen that a typical modern Orthodox rabbi or any Orthodox rabbi gets, relating to kashrus in the kitchen, it's something that l'chadchila is no good, but b'diavad is always kosher. All these, everything. It's always, not everything. It's still, you still need to ask shayla sometimes, every once in a while. Usually there's a husband involved when it's something that's really not kosher. But that's, so l'chadchila is a big difference between asking a shayla l'chadchila and asking a shayla b'diavad. Okay, so the Gemara tells a story. Who esroga? There was an esrog, d'nafa l'chavisa d'chamra, that fell into a barrel of wine. So idri ovid chav m'shakle. So a non-Jew just jumped up. Idri means kafats, Rashi says. He jumped to go grab it. He wanted to save the esrog. So he has his hand in the wine, grabbing onto the esrog. Amaluhu Ravashi Naktul Yaday. So Ravashi says, quick, grab his arm before he pulls his arm out. So while his hand is in the barrel holding the esrog, the Jews grab the guy's arm and they said, okay, now here's what we gotta do. Kiechlil Shakshik, maybe we need to grab his arm so he doesn't move it around, because once he upsets the wine, once he disturbs the wine a little bit, it's gonna be aser. We don't want him to move around his hand. Ubartsua adeshaifa. So here's what we have to do. We need to go tilt over the barrel and pour out all the wine into another barrel. His hand will stay exactly where it is, holding the esrog. The esrog will be fine, he'll get to keep his esrog, and the wine will be saved, because we'll make sure that he never has a chance to be meshachshech. That was his eitzah of how to solve the problem. If you look at Rashi, Bartzul l'chavisa d'shaifa, kafu chavis l'tzad echad, ad sheyishbach, Hayayin l'toch kli, achar sheyimashaych hayayin min ha'ovid chavim, v'achar kach yotziyena, v'teimu teres ba'na'a chavis, to calls man, sheyado t'chuvu b'yayin, so long as his hand is still stuck in that wine, im yotziyena, if he were to take it out, just by the movement of taking the hand out, there's no way to protect, to make sure that you're not going to move around the wine. Even if we're holding his hand steady, so it's like a surgeon removing his hand, it's Efsha that he's not going to be Meshachshech. So therefore, you need to save the wine by grabbing his hand, pouring the wine out while he's holding on to it. If you look at Tosas, so Tosas says the following basic problem. He says, why is it not usher anyway? Because when he put his hand in, he moved around the wine. If he stuck his hand into the wine to grab the esrog, there must have been a splash, there must have been some movement of the wine. So why isn't that itself a problem? So if you look at Tosas, Tzorich Lomar, Shebahachnasas Yado, Afal Pishe Yodea Shu Yayin, when he stuck his hand in, even though he knew it was wine, Eino Chashuv Shich Shuchlo Shubana, Nesha Yatar Lika Chesrogo, Shal Yitnaf. At that time, that Shich Shuch is not going to ask Ribana, because he was too preoccupied with grabbing his esrog, hoping that it doesn't get ruined. And similar to the guy that we spoke about previously, who was going around in charge of the midos, in charge of making sure that the measurements were all fair, and he sticks his arm in to measure the level of wine in the barrel, where we said you're allowed to sell that wine, that wine is mutar b'ana. But taking the esrog out, we don't have that same svar anymore. Mm-hmm. When he removes the esrog, we need to hold on to his hand, because he's no longer as tarred as he was when he was removing his, and it's not like the case of atzas yado de medida, where the guy who's measuring removing his arm, because that guy is still very tarred. What's the difference? The Hasam called Shah af Pesof Medida who knows in Lev al Medidaso. Because over there, throughout the entire process, even when he's removing his arm, he's still paying attention to his measuring. In Madad Yafe, he wants to make sure, did I get this right? Did I do it properly? Hilka Chaf Posas Yadu Chashvin Le Tarud. So over there, even when he's removing his hand, we consider him Tarud, and the fact that he's Tarud, he's not going to be thinking about being Meshach Sheikh. Mele, the wine is going to be Mutter. But over here, once he has his Esrog, the Esrog is saved. He's not worried that he's going to fumble it, he's not going to dropped it, so his mind could start wandering to other things, and it'll be meshachshich a little bit, and that's going to cause a problem. That is answer number one of Tosos. That's the difference between this case and that case, and by Hachnasas Yad, it's just like the case of Medida, where Hachnasas Yad is not going to be a problem because he's Tarud. For Rabbein Tam Piresh, the Hacha Bachnasas Yad Savar Shishal Shemen. Rabbein Tam says, no, a totally different pshat in this Gemara. Over here, we're assuming that at the time that he put his hand in, he thought that it was oil. And was similar to the case of the charim that we said before, where the guy didn't know what it was. And if he didn't know what it was, then you could sell it, then it's going to be mutter. V'dochak. But that's a little bit dochak to say like that. Freshbam pirish, a third pshat, d'bishvil shenaga b'yayin mitchila lita la'esrog lo mitzar. D'mago v'chom shalob b'kavana hayanogea b'yayin shalob b'kavana he was touching the wine without any intention to touch the wine. He was touching the wine purely with the intention of retrieving his esrog. And it's as if he thought it was oil, meaning not like literally like Rabbeinu Tam said that he actually thought it was oil. No, he knew it was wine, but he wasn't trying to put his hand in wine. He was trying to grab his hand onto the esrog. So it says, if kasavar shel shemen even nimtzei shel yayin d'sharin l'albana, avlach shenot al esrog ve'elach shem yitin daito v'yishachshich. But once he's taken out the esrog, once he already has his hands on the esrog, so then we're more concerned that he's going to start paying attention, that his hand is in wine, and he's going to be mishachshich. Fine. So that's how the story went, and that's why we're only concerned with removing of the hand, and not with putting the hand in. The Gemara then goes on, Amar Rav Ashi, Hay Ovid Chavim de Nasche Lechamer de Yisrael Bekavana. Ovid Chavim comes and is Menasech the wine of a Yisrael, of a Jew, with Kavana. So the halacha is it now becomes asubana. You're not allowed, the Jew is not allowed to take his wine and sell it to another Ovid Chavim for money. He's not allowed even to sell it to a guy. He's not allowed to get money for it. But still, Sharile Lemishkal Dame Mehu Ovid Chavim. But he's allowed to retrieve his money from that Ovid Chavim who did this to his wine. That he's allowed to do. That's not called the same thing as selling it to another person. Now, the Ritva points out that this heter of going and taking money from the Ovid Chavim who did this is only if he did it shalom midaito. He did it without the das of the Israel. But if he touched it midas of the Israel, then it's definitely usher to take the money, to take any money from him, because you would never be able to be. The whole heter over here is that it's demei nezek. The guy damaged you, and because he damaged you, you're allowed to retrieve your damages. You're allowed to retrieve the money for your damages. But if you gave him permission, it was midato. So midine nezek, you would never be able to sue him. There's no damages, and therefore you certainly would not be able to take the money from him. He has a raya from the Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Aleph. We'll see it when we get there. But that's the point. Now the Rama Machos Asuras at the end of Perek Gimel seems to hold this way as well, because the Ram writes that an akum shenaga b'yeno shel Yisrael la onso mutar limkro so yain la oso akum. The Ram says that when a non-Jew pours the wine of a Jew la onso against his will, then you're allowed to sell it la oso akum back to that non-Jew. And the Kesem Mishnah points out im lo anaso, if it wasn't la onso va Yisrael yachol lemono pshita shen yachol lemocher la oso akum, and you could have held him back and stopped him from doing it, then it's pashut that you're not allowed to that you're not allowed to get money from the non-Jew as payment for that wine. So anyway, but from that guy himself, you're allowed to take a my time a wine miklakalia. It's as if he destroyed your wine, so it's demei hezek that you're getting paid back. Amar Rav Ashi mina aminolas. Rav Ashi said, okay, this is my psak, but where did I get this from? Where did I learn this psak from? The Tanya, we have a brisa as follows: Ovid Chavim shenasach yeno shel Yisrael shelo b'fnei avodas chavim. Usher, if an Ovid Chavim is menasech the yayin of a Jew, not in front of an Avodah Zarah, it's Usher. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira matirin mishum shnei dvarim. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira both said that wine is going to be mutter for two reasons. Number one, echad she'en menasech yayin el b'fnei Avodah Chavim. Number one, very simply, that the Ovid Chavim generally are not menasech yayin for sacramental reasons, in any for any religious reasons, when it's not in front of the Avodah Zarah. So any nisuf that they did not in front of the Avodah Zarah is not going to be a problem. And number two, what gives the Ovid Kavan the right to ask her my wine against my will? It's my wine who gave him the Rishus to go and ask her the power, the Koach, to go ahead and ask her my wine. Now, Rashi points out, wait a second, but we don't paskin that way. We paskin that an Ovid Kavan does have the ability to ask her my wine. The whole reason, in fact, we said that you're not allowed to sell it to another non-Jew. That when the guy comes in as Menasek Yir Yayin, you cannot sell it to another. It's just him. He's paying you Dmei Hazak. He's not even paying you for the wine. That's why you're allowed to take money. So that's where Rav Ashi gets his Psak Halacha from, something that we don't paskin like, that Rav Ashi himself doesn't paskin like, of Lokal Emenu. So Rashi points out, even though we don't really paskin this way, meaning what we say is, look, there is this svara of Lokal Emenu that you don't have the right to make my wine us. So that svara is out there. You could take that svara to an extreme and say that literally he has no ability to ask your wine whatsoever, and therefore you're even allowed to sell it to other people and you can take the money. We don't take it to that extreme. We don't paskin that way, but we at least take it partially there. The svara is still out there, and the svara is something that Rav Ashi was comfortable enough relying on when it came to getting paid from that Ovid Chavim itself. If you look at Tosfos of Afpi Shilu HaYisol Zeh Shovcho Sheyov Chavim Zeh Rotzli Pater V'imkein Hayu Lanu Lachshivim Dumei Yayin Nesach Mamish. So he says, wait a second, Tosfos is bothered by a different issue. How can you get money back from this guy? You're going to call it Dumei Nesach. It's really Dumei Yayin Nesach. You're really getting paid for the wine itself. And what's my idea? Let's say you were to pour all the wine out on the ground. Would you then get money from the Ovid Kochavim? If you were to spill out all the wine in the sink, are you going to get money from the Ovid Kochavim? Certainly not. He's not going to pay you a single penny. So isn't that a raya, that the only reason you're getting money is because you're selling him the wine, not because he damaged you? If it was because he damaged you, then he doesn't need the wine in order to pay you. So that's Tosfos Kasha. How can you call this Dmei Nezek? So still, he says, Mikal Makom, Kiven to be Yisrael, Im Nascho Chayiv L'Shalim, V'afilu Shavcho, Zekid Tam Bani Zaken, Hamnasek V'mezid Chayiv, Bovi Chav Nami Chashinu L'Dmei Azeko. He says, let's say the other party was not a Novit Chavim. It was a Jew. And a Jew was menaseich your wine, God forbid, l'shem avodah zarah. So, and then you poured out the wine down the drain because it became aser. The Jew is chayiv to pay you. So since midine Yisrael, bein Yisrael li Yisrael, he would be chayiv to pay you, even if you were to pour the wine down the drain. So any such interaction between two people where one is menaseich the wine of the other, that monetary payment that he's going to have to pay him is labeled dmei hezek. Even though in this particular case with the Ovid Kochavim, he's not going to be willing to pay it unless he actually gets the wine, that money is labeled Dmei Hezek. Rashbam Piresh, Deravashi Lo Aislin Masayu El Asmachta, Delo Kalimanech, and Rashbam explained, like Rashi said, that this whole bringing of this idea of Lo Kalimanech is purely an Asmachta, because we don't paskin like that idea that we're bringing. We're just saying that we hold of the idea in general, we just don't take it quite as far as suggesting that an Ovid Kochavim never has the ability to asa the Yayin Shal Yisrael. Okay, but Hashem will continue in more Yayin Asa Sugyas tomorrow.